Let's discuss a few things. Parashas Bamidbar. Parashas Bamidbar, it's Erev. This year we are unique Parashas Bamidbar, where it's Erev Yom Tov. Okay, first thing, we begin this week Chumash HaPikudim, Numbers. The Chumash, the section, the one-fifth of the Torah of Pikudim. What is the translation of Pikudim? So we simply translate it to mean the counting. Numbers, the numbers of Klal Yisrael, but the truth is it's a lot more sophisticated than that. It's a little more complicated than that. I'll give you one example on the Yom Noroim. On the Yom Noroim, we say, we say Vahashem Pokad Es Sarah. Pokad means to, also sometimes it means to be remembered.
That's a Ramban.
Right, they were coming to the Ramban in one moment. What else does the Nusach I'm looking for? We say on the Yom Noroim, Lefonecha Bo Maseish. That before you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes, all of the deeds of man. What does that mean? It means a person's purpose. The function of counting Klal Yisrael is not just to know everyone's number; it's also to know their purpose. Every individual in Klal Yisrael has a unique purpose in this world. It's very unique that it's important that Parashas Bamidbar is always the parasha right before Matan Torah. With regard to learning Torah, we say every day in davening multiple times, V'sein chelkenu b'sarasecha. Every single person has their own individual portion in the study in the chelik of Torah, and right before we come into that day of the year when we focus on the receiving of the Torah, the fact that every person has a chelik in Torah, we read about the pikudim. We read about the fact that every single person was counted by Moshe Rabbeinu. Chazal say every single person came in front of Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu counted him. He was counted as an individual. It wasn't just that Moshe Rabbeinu counted. Moshe Rabbeinu gave you a look, he gave you a number, he gave you a mission, he gave you a purpose, he gave you a function, he gave you a chelek in Torah. These two ideas go very well together as Hakdama to Matan Torah. And the big question is, why is this sefer called Chumash HaPikudim? But the Pikudim, the counting of Klal Yisrael, only is in the very beginning of Chumash Bamidbar. The rest of Chumash Bamidbar, we deal with so many other issues. We deal with Birchas Kohanim, we have the Degolim, then we deal with spying the messengers, Eretz Yisrael, we have Koirach, and we have the Milchemes Midian, we have Balak, we have the Karbonos and Parashas Pinchas, and the Chalukah Sa'aris. There are so many different themes that are presented in Chumash Bamidbar. Why do we call the entire Chumash after an event that takes place in the very beginning of the Parasha, only in Parashas Bamidbar? We also mentioned it again in Parashas Pinchas. There's another counting, but generally something which appears to be isolated, and yet it takes on the whole Sefer, it takes on the name of the Bikudim. Now this is very different than the other four Chumashim. For example, Chumash Bereishis, we call the Sefer Hayashar. That fits very well. The entire Chumash, the entire Chumash Bereishis deals with the Avos, starting in Parashas Noach. We already have mention of Avraham Avinu, Avram, and then it goes into Yitzchak and Yaakov and the Shvatim. So Sefer Hayasha, we understand why the entire book is called Sefer Hayasha. We understand Sefer Shemos is called Chumash of the Geula. Sefer HaGeula. We use terms that are not accurate. We say Bereishis and we say Shemos, but in Chazal's vocabulary, the first Chumash is called the Sefer HaYosha. The second Chumash is called Sefer HaGeula. And that makes sense. That's the theme which goes from the very beginning of the Sefer to the very end of the Sefer. Chumash VaYikra is called in Chazal's vocabulary Toras Kehanim. And that makes perfectly logical sense. The entire Sefer beginning 10 is all about it. And what about Chumash Devarim? Well, that's called Mishneh Torah. Mishneh Torah is a repeat of the entire Chamisha Chumash Torah, of all the Tayag Mitzvahs. So four of the five Chumashim, we fully understand why it's called by the names that Chazal have chosen. Sefer HaYoshar, Sefer HaGeula, Taras Kohanim, and Mishneh Torah. But why do Chazal use the term Chumash HaPikudim in reference for what we call Chumash Bamidbar? So I want to present an idea. Ideas based upon something I saw in a sefer called Devir Kodshoy by Rabbi Goldberg. The name of the Mechaber is Rav Goldberg. I think Rav Yaakov Goldberg, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not sure. What? Chumash HaPikudim. Sefer Bamidbar is called in Chazal's vocabulary Chumash HaPikudim. Now let me give now. There's a Ramban. The Ramban says something very important. Why? What is the meaning of the word Pikudim? And it's what the Ramban says in the Devir Kodesh. He says really alluded to in the Ramban doesn't say this, but what his idea is alluded to at the end of the first or the second Aliyah. After Moshe counts all the people in Klal Yisrael, it says, "Ela habikudim." These are the bikudim. Asher pakad Moshe v'yaron nesi Yisrael, shnei masa ish ish echol levei savoysav hayu, vayihiyu kol bikudei v'nei Yisrael levei savoysam, b'nei aviyash mishano v'malo kol yoyot Yisrael Yisrael. We have the number, vayihiyu kol habikudim, sheish mios elef, 600,000, 3,000 shlosh alafim, and v'chamesh mios chamishim, 550. So here's what the Ramban says. Ramban says there are three different countings in three different reasons for counting Klal Yisrael. Number one is everyone should receive a bracha from Moshe Rabbeinu. By coming in front of Moshe Rabbeinu and being counted, Moshe Rabbeinu looked at them. And they were zoicha to a bracha from Moshe Rabbeinu. Not because of the number, but because of receiving this interaction and this bracha, being given over a mission from Moshe Rabbeinu. The second reason why they were counted was because they had to know how many young, able-bodied men were available to go and fight in war. When you go to war, al derech hateva, a general will give a number of soldiers that are necessary to go to battle. If there's a complex battle, there are enemies on different sides, they have to know how to divide up the soldiers. You have to have a number in order to proceed in war. We all relate to this years ago in the Iraq and Afghanistan. Sure. We've always surged. We always hear about numbers, and there's a lot of significance in knowing how many soldiers you have, how many soldiers are needed to support those in battle and combat, how many soldiers are on different locations, different parts of the military. You have to know number for war. And the third reason the Ramban says why we count Klal Yisrael was counted was as a way of recognizing the chesed that Hashem has done for Klal Yisrael. When we came to Mitzrayim, we were only 70 souls. 70 souls. B'shivim nefesh yordu avosecha Mitzrayimah. And now we should recognize that there are over 600,000 men from the age of 20 and up, not including the women and children. And that is a way for us to remember that in this period of time of 210 years, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done for Klal Yisrael has raised us from this small number to this very great number. So to repeat, there are three. The Ramban is very clear. The Ramban is a nice discussion about this whole topic of what is in Pikudim, and it concludes the purpose of the counting in the beginning of Chumash Bamidbar was three reasons. Number one, every person should have an interaction with Moshe Rabbeinu, and in that process should receive a bracha, and to receive a mission, more importantly a mission and a role in Klal Yisrael. Number two, generals have to know how many soldiers are available. And number three, we should recognize the chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done for us. Now, along comes Rabbi Goldberg in his Sefer Devir Kodesho, incredible Sefer, beautiful Chidushim, and he says what the Ramban says is really hinted to in the end of the second Aliyah. It says the word Pikudim three times. The word Pikudim is mentioned three times. Ela ha-Pikudim asher pakad Moshe v'Aaron u'nisiyei Yisrael shnei mosar ish ish echol levei savosav hayu. These are the Pikudim that Moshe, Aaron, and the 12 leaders, the 12 Nesim of Klal Yisrael, counted Klal Yisrael. What is, okay, that's the first time it says the word Pikida. The second time it says Vayihu kol Pikude. A second reference for the word Pikude. V'nei Yisrael levei savosam. Then it goes on to tell us that the number is from how when it goes again the word Pikudim. Leves mi ben eshem shemavalo kol yotzei tzav Yisrael. And then it says the word Pikudim a third time. Vayihu kol ha Pikudim, and it gives a number 600,000 plus. Three times in these few psukim from Pasuk Mem Daled through Pasuk Mem Zayin does it say the word Pekudim. It seems to be a bit verbose. There is some redundancy. So Rav Goldberg says there's no redundancy. It's exactly what the Ramban says. There are three functions. And each mention of the word Pekudim very clearly describes the function of the Ramban. The first one it says, Moshe, Aaron and the Nasi, they counted every single member of Klal Yisrael. Why does it say this? Because when they were counted, they lined up and they presented themselves to Moshe, Aaron and the Nasiim, and that was an interaction. It was a baracha, a form of blessing from Moshe to Klal Yisrael, and it was a form of receiving a purpose and a mission in Klal Yisrael. The second time it says the word Pekida, it's very clearly mentioned with the words of the army. That you call Pikude Vine Yisrael Levesa Vaisam, Mi Ben Eshem Shon of Amala, call Yotzei Tzava the Yisrael. The purpose is to know how many able bodied men there are available for war. And the third mention is the number. It goes on to say, what was the tally? Vayi you call hapikudim sheish meos elef ushloish esalafim vachamesh meos vachamishim. It tells you the number. What's the purpose of telling you the number? You should remember that when you came to Mitzrayim, you were only 70 souls, and now you're 600,000 plus. You should think about the brach that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given you. It's a beautiful idea. When the Ramban explains the purpose of pikudim, the reason, the three reasons, it's kemat explicit in the pasuk at the end of the pikudim, at the end of the second aliyah. Yeah.
Is the Ramban?
The Ramban is a few psukim down. You have to. I have it over here. It's not the beginning of the parasha. You have to go a little bit ahead. There's a very long Ramban on the word pikudim. Tifkidu Osam. It is on Pasuk Gimel. It's a very long Ramban. He just has a long discussion of what it is. It's towards the end. This section is towards the end when he lays out these three reasons. Now, I was just thinking along these lines to go back to our original question. Why is the entire Chumash called Sefer HaPikudim? Sefer HaYosha, Sefer HaGeula, Taras Kehanim, Mishneh Torah. Where does it come in? Chumash HaPikudim. Well, now that we know these three functions, we can understand that if you look at the entire Chumash Bamidbar, it's not a perfect idea, but there's something to it. We can break up the whole Chumash Bamidbar into three parts. What are we primarily doing for Parashas Bamidbar? It's the Bikudim. We're counting the Klal Yisrael. We're counting the firstborns. We're counting the Levim. We're giving everyone a position, the Degalim. Everyone is being put in one of the Degalim. It's all part, it's all, and then we're counting the Levim and telling them exactly who's going to carry what. Then we go into Parashas Noso. And Parashas Noso, we list all the various. Well, we first start by telling us what they're going to count. There are other sections, but we conclude with major section is Birchas Kohanim. It's really a continuation of Parashas Bamidbar. Not totally, because we have a lot of other things. We have a Nazir. There are other sections, but there's also Birchas Kohanim. So I want to suggest that until you get to Parashas Noso, the full bulk of Parashas Bamidbar, and definitely a nice section of Parashas Noso, which concludes with Birchas Kohanim, represents the first Pekida, the first purpose of counting, is to give Baruchah, the mission, purpose, and Baruchah to Klal Yisrael. Every individual is counted. Every person has a purpose. Every person has a position, a location, a function. And the end of all of this is, what's the end of all of this? The end is, Bracha, Yivarecha Hashem, Yishmerecha, Yor Hashem is Bracha. That's really what the Ramban says is the first purpose of the Pekudim. Everyone should get Bracha. Then we go to the next section of Chumash Bamidbar. There are a lot of, there's Koirach, and there are the spies, but a lot of it ends in battle. It ends in Parshas Chukas. Chukas is Milchemes Midyan. The Misa of Aaron HaKoyen, Milchemes Midyan. Milchemes Midyan is really an outgrowth of what happened from Balak. Balak's plan to curse Klal Yisrael failed, so instead he tried to incite them by being nichshol in Gilui Arayos, which led to a Mageifa, which led to a Milchama. Again, this requires more clarification, but the second section of the Torah all is about complications, war, Milchama, everything that leads up to Yotzei Tzava B'Yisrael. And the third part of the parasha represents the Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, the Gvulos of Eretz Yisrael, the Masos, the traveling towards Eretz Yisrael, which is the ultimate chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done for Klal Yisrael. He took us out, not only did He take us out from Eretz Yisrael with Pinchas, also they have the Bikudim as well, there as well, but it represents the ultimate bracha, our recognition that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what He has done for us, that we started out as strangers in a foreign land in Mitzrayim, and here He's taking us, He's giving us Eretz Yisrael, He's giving us the Gvulos, and he's preparing us to enter into Eretz Yisrael, which is something for us to think about how far we have gone from Meshivim Nefesh Yotzu Avsach B'Mitzrayim, not just a small number of souls, but also to the Bracha that Kodesh Baruch Hu has given us. So to review, what I'm trying to suggest is, this is a very difficult question, which is no really good answer to. Why is the entire Chumash called Chumash HaPikudim? Bikudim L'chora only took place in the beginning of the Parashah, in Parashas Bamidbar, and again it's alluded to in Parashas Pinchas. So the answer I'm trying to suggest is, well, first we have to know the Yesod of the Ramban, which is worth everything in and of itself. There are three different purposes of Pikudim. And then we add to that the Yesod of Rabbi Goldberg. Rabbi Goldberg shows that it's actually mentioned. These three purpose functions are actually mentioned explicitly in the Pasuk, in the end of the second Aliyah. When we take these two things together, this idea that these are the three purposes of the Pikudim, and we look at the big picture of Chumash Bamidbar, we can, to some degree, say the whole Chumash Bamidbar encompasses these three ideas. The first chunk of Chumash HaPikudim is about Klal Yisrael being counted and being assigned to a mission. The second chunk is all about machlokes and what leads to war, milchamas midyan, the climax of milchamas midyan. And the third part represents the bracha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us, the recognition that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us, the gvulos Eretz Yisrael. Okay, let's leave it with that. Now let's now jump from one end of the parasha to the other end of the parasha. There's something very bizarre. At the end of the parasha, we end with the word vanesu. We generally have a rule that you're not allowed to end the parasha with a davar ra. You're not allowed to end the parasha, even in aliyah, if you have to be mafsik in the aliyahs, you have to stop at a place where it's not something that is has any zecher of anything that is that they end with a davar ra. Okay, generally we're not supposed to. Problem is, in all of the parashas, the one that is the most problematic is Parashas Bamidbar, because it ends v'lo yavou liros kivala es hakodesh von mesu. So similarly, you'll answer that no, we don't want anyone to die. It's not telling us someone's going to die; just saying you should not do so that you should not die. Pasuk is giving us a command, a cautionary. Right? It's cautionary. It's not that achashom something bad is going to happen yet. That's a nice answer, but when you could have just read a few more pesukim or could have stopped a little bit earlier, why would you want to end on a bad, on a sour note of von mesu? So it's a difficult question. It's a tough question. Why do we end with the word Misa? Misa is not something that is pleasant. You know, we end with Terach. Vayom was Terach b'choron, but Terach was not part of Klal Yisrael. But here we're ending with someone in Klal Yisrael being Nichshol, and we do know that it happened. We knew that Sheva Levi, the reason why they were from the smallest Shevatim, why they had some of the least men, was because many of them, since they carried the Aron, many people who carried the Aron died prematurely because they were not in the Madrega to carry the Aron, and they were Nichshol, and they died. So it's something which is not very pleasant. So some want to go so far to suggest, this is an extreme idea, it says in the Turi Torah, he says that it's a mistake. There was a tradition that we begin Parshas Noso, we get an Aliyah, and next week I'd be very careful to make sure they start their two Nosos. And we just jump. Oh, exactly. So it's supposed to start one Aliyah back. Vayidaber, the Shvi of Bamidbar is Vayidaber Hashem Moshe V'Yal Aaron Lemar Noso. Esrosh b'nei Kohath mitoch b'nei Levi. Next week's parasha is Naso Esrosh b'nei Gershon. And it's very disturbing. Why are we breaking up the families of the Levian? It's one section. There's the family of Kohath, there's the family of Gershon, and then there's the family of b'nei Merari. Three families. So what in the world is going on? L'chora, the parashas Bamidbar should have ended at Shavi. And somehow we got a little bit confused, and one thing led to another before all there was Sarpudim. We stop at the wrong place. We really should stop, then it's not a bad place to stop. Then you're stopping Me'es B'chor B'nei Yishol L'kachas HaKesa Me'itin Moshe Eskes HaPi Du Yim La'aroin U'Levonov Al-Pi Hashem Kasher Tziv Hashem Es Moshe. It would be a very nice place to stop. It was a mistake, an error that crept into our Seder. However, others want to say something a little bit different. It's a little bit extreme, and I have to check this out. I forgot to look it up. But okay, there are many. So one answer for this year works out. This year works out very nice. This year we have a milah that Erev Shabbos. That Shabbos is Erev Yom Tov, which means that tomorrow is going to be the 49th day of the Omer. Right, tomorrow is day 49. Today is the finale. 49 days in the Omer. Is the end of the Omer day 50 or day 49? It's Machlekes. Some say the real end of the Omer is day 50, not day 49. We just do not count 50 because it's obvious. You don't have to count it. It's Pashut. It's day 50. But some say, no, the last day is day 49. 49 in Chazal's eyes represent the concept of Techiyas HaMesim. How do I know this? Again, I have to count. I forgot to count. I will do that this morning. I never had a chance to make sure this is right. Usually when you tell these things, they're wrong. But I'm sure we'll find the solution. How many words are there in the second bracha of Shemona Esrei? You say it every single day. Count the words later. There's supposed to be 49 words. I don't think it includes. Does it include Mashiach? I have to see if it includes Moratolia. Check it out. Figure it out. Work backwards. There are 49 words in the bracha of Mechaye HaMesim. Baruch Atah Hashem Mechaye HaMesim. That's not a coincidence. Chazal deliberately chose to make the bracha of Tchiyas HaMesim 49 words. By the way, how many letters are there in the combined letters of all of the Shvatim? Ruvein, Shimon, Levi, Yudi, Sach, Zun, B'yam, count all the letters of all the Shvatim. How do you spell Zvulim with two Vavs? There are certain Shvatim.
That's Gemara Sofi.
49. There's supposed to be a grand total of 49 letters in all of the Shvatim together. Why 49? Oh, it's a question how there's a Vav. Okay, but some
you named the various spellings.
Various spellings. Okay, but one tradition, there are different traditions, but one tradition is Bedavka 49, because Yaakov Avinu lo mes. Yaakov did not die, and Yaakov's children, Klal Yisrael, Ami Yisrael Chai. Klal Yisrael is called by the Shvatim.
I was just counting 49 is without the Mashiach Ruach.
Okay, fine. Without Mashiach, the main Yisrael, or Baruch. Wait. What about Baruch Atah Hashem? Baruch. No, that you can't.
Yeah.
Okay, just the main part. Okay, so therefore, why 49? Because Tchiyas HaMesim, the concept of Tchiyas HaMesim is captured in the number 49. Why is that so? Because the Shleimus of Teva. What is Teva? Teva is 7. 7 times 7 represents the Shleimus of Shleimus, the perfection of Teva. Is that we don't die. The reason why we die, Adam was chayte, he sinned. There's a chesaron, nature is not perfect. If a person was, a human being was perfectly healthy, there was no taint of sin, then teva, the shleimus of teva is, there's no misa. Adrab, there's no misa, there's tchiyas hamesim. Tchiyas hamesim means there's health. Perfect health is captured. You'll collaborate on your own. Therefore, Chazal deliberately, again, this is a bit of a drush, a little of a stretch, but it's a nice idea. Chazal deliberately chose that we should end Parshas Bamidbar with the word Vamesu. Because Parshas Bamidbar is always the Shabbos before Shavuos, which captures in it the week of Shavuos, the end of Sfira, and this particular year works out even better because Parshas Bamidbar happens to actually be the very end, the last day of Sfira, day 49. There's nothing to be afraid of. There is no Misa. when you reach the Madrin Klai Yishol Tarah, Chazal Tarah indeed tells us that when Klai Yishol received the Torah, the Tal of Tchias HaNesim revived them. There was no Misa. They Paskal Zuha Masan. There was no Misa. They restored to the Madrig of Adam, Rishon Kodem HaChet. It was only because of the Chet or Egel they returned back where they came from. But when you go through the cycle of seven Shabbosos Tmimos, you reach a Madrig of 49. 49 is the concept of Mechaye HaNesim. So there's nothing to fear. There's nothing to worry about. To bring out the point, there's nothing to worry about. The parasha deliberately ends with the word Vamesu. There's nothing to worry about. It's not something which is, there's no Simen Ra on such a week. This is one idea why the parasha ends where it does. Another idea, why does it end where it does? Why do we stop smack in the middle of the three sons of Levi, Kohos, Merari, and Gershon? What did Kohos carry? Kohos carried the Kalim. They carried the Mizbeach. They carried the Shulchan. They carried the Klei Shares, and they also carried the Aron. They carried the Aron. What is there in the Pasuk? It says V'chila V'nasulav is Kol Kalev. How does it start? V'arun Umachan Avidu is Pareches Hamasach. Okay, they carry the Shulchan. Where is the Aron? They put over the. What's the last thing? Okay, Shor Sabuhem. Dishmuel Samizbeach.
Pasuk Laman Aleph.
Pasuk.
Perek Gimel, page 183.
Perek Gimel.
383. Shmaatem Aaron Bashulchan Lamanoira.
No, which Pasuk? Yeah, Pasuk?
Lamed Aleph.
Yes.
Pasuk Lamed Aleph.
Perek Gimel.
Perek Gimel. Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Okay, but no, I want to go. That's a general description of what they do. That's a general. Let's talk about now when they actually began to carry. Okay, there are three sections. There's Shvi'i. Let's look at Parashas Bamidbar. The end of Parashas Bamidbar. We start with Shvi'i. Noso es Rosh b'nei Kohos, and we tell them they have to be 30 years old to join the service. And what are they going to do? Zoy savidas b'nei Kohos b'el moed. Kodesh HaKodashim, Uvo Aaron Uvo Nebim Mesoy HaMachne, Veridu Eis Poroches HaMosach, V'chisli Bo Eis Aroin HaEdos. The first thing is the Aroin. They take down the Poroches, they cover the Aroin, and it goes on, then they take the Shulchan, then they take the Mizbeach, they take all the Kalim. They're done. Kohos is done. And then we begin Parshas Naso, where we enters in Gershon. Gershon, they don't take the Kalim, they take the structure. They take down Zos Avodas Mishpachos Hager Rishuni Lavod Belomasa V'Nasu Es Yiriyos HaMishkan. They don't deal with the Kalim. They deal with the structure, the building, the Yiriyos. And then they take the Krushim, and they take all the various parts, well, not all, some of the parts. And then we come to B'nai Merari. What do they do? They take the pillars. V'amudei hechotzer saviv v'adneihem v'sedosam u'meisrehem l'chol kelehem l'chol v'dosam u'v'shemos tifkadu es klei mishmeres masa. So basically, we divide the family into three parts. The family of Kohos, they take the kelim. The family of Gershon takes the Mishkan itself, the structure. And the family of Merari takes the chotzer, the courtyard. We would expect we should group them all together. We should start Parshas Naso with the Kalim. But we have to understand, Shavuos comes out this time of the year. We bedafka want to focus on the Kalim. The Kalim represent the Torah and the Mitzvos, the Avodah, the service. We deliberately break up the family, break up the Kalim which are used to serve Hashem versus the Mokom, the building. You know, it's very nice when you see in the newspaper, they put up new buildings, new institutions, beautiful buildings, state-of-the-art buildings, But what's the building worth if you don't have Talmidim learning? It's much be much more important you have programs with Talmidim are steiging and they're being taught here a Shemaim. If the building is not so nice, let's just, if there's no marble in the building, but they're learning Yom V'Laila, they're learning Midas Tovos, they're learning their Zasmada. That's the Yikar. What counts in life is not the marble. It's not the chandeliers. What counts in life is avoda, the service, the learning. That's what counts in life. When it comes to Shavuos, when mafsik between the two, when the kabel, the Torah, right after we focus on holding in your hand the Aron, holding in your hand the Menorah, holding in your hand the Mizbeach, the Levim are entering, they're putting it on their shoulders. What does it mean to put it on your shoulders? We accept upon ourselves the weight of the Torah, the oil HaTorah. We accept upon ourselves the oil of the mitzvah, of the Shulchan, all that entails, Gemilas Chasodim. We accept upon ourselves the oil, the weight of the Mizbeach, to make sacrifice for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to carry the menorah. We accept upon ourselves the oil of mitzvahs, the avoda, the building. It's not so important. Because the truth is, Meloi Cholo Aretz Kevoidai. The building is a temporary location for Hashem. In the Midbar, the building was located in this location. When it was the Beis HaMikdash, it was located in one location. And during the time of Golus, the Shechina is all over the place. The Shechina travels with Klal Yisrael. That's not the Ikar. Kabbalah Satara, to emphasize, what is Kabbalah Satara? Kabbalah Satara is not limited to a location. It's not limited to a bias, to a specific location. It's the Kabbalah Satorah is to put on your shoulder the kalim that Hashem has given us. The Oron, to be makabel, the oil Torah, the oil Shulchan, the oil Mizbeach. Right there is where you have to stop and say, this is what I am makabel upon myself. If you're going to then go to the next section to read before Shavuos about the beautiful building, okay, there's a beautiful building, it's in Eretz Yisrael, or it's in somewhere over there. I live here. I'm not shaykh to this. It sets the wrong tone. So we have no choice but to be mekabel the Torah smack in the middle of these three families. Okay, yeah.
Is the Seder in the Torah, when they mention the children, it says, get them to Hatz Merorah.
Yeah.
Right? So the question would be, why you're having Kohas should be really in Nasa, because he's the second one.
Well, you can put him either way. You can put everything in one parasha, everything in the second parasha. It shouldn't be Mafsik.
But also, you want to separate Kohas from
Well, that's the question. We don't want to separate. We really should not be separate. Well, that's what we're doing. That's all part of the question.
We want to separate them because you have the kahuna coming out of there. And they're also...
No, these are not the Kohanim. These are only the Levim. No, these are only the Levim. These three families are all Levim.
Separate. What's right? Comes around.
They're only Levim.
Comes Moshe and then...
But these families... But Aaron was already separated from Kohos. These three families are all Levim. There are three families of Levim who carry the Aron. Either we should put them all in Parshas Bamidbar, which seemingly would be the logical thing to do, because that way you would divide the weight, the Nos, so it's too long. So you would put all three in Parshas Bamidbar, or you would put all three in Parshas Nasa. And why are you cutting it right down the middle, especially when you include the word of Emesu? Terry says, we bedafka, we want to show what Kabbalah Satar is all about. Kabbalah Satar is the mitzvahs, it's not the building. When you focus on the building too much, you're in a lot of trouble. You know, someone was once, years ago, there were two organizations that were competing for students, and they both put in ads in the paper at the same time. And one institution put in, they showed their buildings in the pictures. Wow, look at our building. And another organization, they put in the picture of students. This is the student. This is. So what is a better advertisement? The student! Who cares about the building? So you have a building, the beautiful building. The building isn't, if you don't have the students, you don't have something to be proud of, product to be proud of, who cares? The Iker is the students who produce. That's what the parasha is telling us. Yivi Makamo the Torah. The Kabbalah Satorah comes right after you learn about what Torah is about. The service of the Torah, the avoda of Torah. Not the building.
But Rabbi Levine,
yeah.
That's a good point, because if you read Parasha Shvi and Bamidbar,
yeah.
A lot of the focus is on what the Kohanim came in and had to do.
Yeah.
They were more involved, at least Pasha Pshat Pasha, in the Caleb. Than they were with the pillars and all that.
Kalim represent service.
But it wasn't the Levim's role.
Was to carry in the Midbar?
Yeah, but who had to make the Kedusha of it was so intense that the Levim could not look at the Kalim.
Okay.
The pillars, they could look at everything. So the whole
But they're carrying it. They're not looking at it, but they're carrying it on their shoulder. They're taking hold of the Kalim. What are the Kalim? The Kalim are service utensils.
I understand, but what Morty was raising is the one part. I could understand they want to separate it out to a certain extent because it was like you unpack it, right? You unpack the item. The Levim didn't unpack it, according to what Parsha Pshat.
They did.
The Kohanim, they unpacked it. They took it out of the Kodesh Kodosh, no? The Kohanim took it out.
Not necessarily. I think the Levim took it out. Okay, but that's a minor point. It's a minor point. That's a minor point. The point is, we have three families. I hear what you're saying, but it's not the central focus. We have Naso Esrosh B'nei Kehos, Naso Esrosh B'nei Gershon, B'nei Merari. Three families. Division of labor. Kalim, the Mishkan, the Chatzar. Where does the parasha end? After the Kalim. Let's go further.
He just says the reason it's separated, other than he gives one, the simple teretz is the answer that with the 192 psukim in Naso is just too long.
Too long, yeah.
But on a deeper level, he says that this is just to show that while Gershon, Goss, and Merari were brothers, and you would think that perhaps
together.
You would think perhaps if it was all together in one parsha that they're all on some level equal. But he wanted to show that the people who are Nosi the Kalim, Kahas, is there on a much higher
level. Same idea. Yeah. Different by Drake.
Separate from everybody else.
And that's where Kabbalah Satara comes.
Right. You shouldn't think they're equal, because Kahas was in a whole different level.
Okay. The Koilo, not even from the Koilo. Okay, let's go to another idea. We have the counting of all of the Shvatim. Now, Chazal tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu the tally at the beginning. I'm telling you now, in the very beginning, there are going to be 600,000, 3,000, and what was the number? 550. 500, was it 550? I'm giving you the number at the very beginning. And now let's break up the Shvatim. Everyone, the 12, the 11, Levi was not included in this counting. The Shvatim shall present themselves, each individual from 20 years and up, shall present, you're going to count. So you start with Reuven. How does it go? It starts with Reuven, then is Shimon, then is God, Yehuda, and we go through all the numbers, we have the tally. Now the problem is when you get down to the last one, to Naphtali, you come down to Naphtali, there's no need to count them. Moshe Rabbeinu was a brilliant mathematician. He was smarter than all the PhDs out there in numbers. He can do calculus in his sleep. This is no big deal for him. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him the number, the grand total in the very beginning, there's going to be 600,000, 3,550, and you've already counted 10 of the 11 Shvatim, so you automatically are going to know right away that the last one online are Naphtali.
Back into it.
Naphtali, you can go home. Everyone else is Kash. Naphtali, you have to come out. Yeah, they were Shloisha V'chamishim Elef, 53,400. Naphtali, you know, you can go home. I already figured out. And indeed, this idea, the fact that it was not necessary for Moshe Rabbeinu to count them at all, is hinted to in the Pasuk. You have to watch the Baal Kore tomorrow very carefully. There are a lot of very small nuances. And one of them is, all of the Shvatim, when they're counted, it says, Lamed, Livne. You start with Reuven. Reuven begins. The Reuven, what does it say about Reuven? Reuven, the trop, the first one is a little bit different anyway. Reuven has a different, Reuven and Shimon have different trop. But then after every single one, it says, Livne Shimon, Livne God, Livne Yehuda, Livne Zevulun, Livne Yisachar, okay, Livne Menash, Livne Yvion, Livne Don. And then when you, Livne Osher, and then when you come to Naphtali, watch the Balkore. Give a clap. Valkari will, if he's not catching, he's going to say, Livnei Naftali. No. There's no Lamed. Don't make Lameds when they don't exist. Binei Naftali. Why is Naftali the only one that's lacking a Lamed? So the Mefarsh said, because it wasn't really necessary for Moshe to count them. Moshe can figure out on his own. I know what the sum is. I know I already counted everyone else. I can figure out, do the math on my own. Yet everyone, that's a lot of people that have to file behind, file in front of you. Can you imagine if you're a rabbi? You have to wait for 53,000 people to come in front of you and say good Shabbos to 53,000 people. It's a lot of people. So why did he do this? So Mr. Rapport touched upon one answer. A popular answer is we learn a very powerful limud musar. Even there are times when things are not necessary. Derech Eretz. Kavod HaTorah, give kavod, give honor to these people. These people, everyone else, we mentioned, according to the Ramban, one of the main reasons why they were counted was, and not to really count them, we don't need to count them. We need to give everyone that needs to have an interaction with Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron and the Nesiim to get a bracha, to say hello. I know the number. But you come anyway to come before me. We mentioned this many times when it comes to Mechiras Chametz. There are many Balabatim, there are Balabatim. Well, it used to be. Today, this is a dying institution. The Mechiras Chametz, the Balabatim that had many Rabbanim, they go and they would sell the Chametz to multiple Rabbanim. I sold it to this rabbi, but I daven in three shuls, so I want to be mezakeh. They give a check. I have the money, so it's a way, not just giving the check, it's a way of showing the rabbi, I hold from you. You're my rabbi. Though I'm not going to tell you that I went to three other rabbis also. But I hold from you. I'm giving you, I want to wish you a chag kosher v'sameach. I want to give you a matana. I hold from you. You're my rabbi. So you can do it five rabbanim. Chametz? Who cares about the chametz? I don't even have chametz. I don't even have chametz. But you go to five rabbanim. It's the same exact thing. Naftali, I don't need to count you. But I care about you. You're one of mine. You're one of us. Come, everyone, line up. Let me count you just to have an opportunity to say hello. That's the common answer. But there's a deeper answer, because if this was true, why did it have to work out only Naftali? The order, I think it's 13 times in the Torah are the Shvatim listed. 13 times, and almost every time they're listed in a different order. Especially, I think 7 of the 13 times are listed in a different order. Why here in this particular case? There are answers. I don't know what the answers are. You'll find a technical answer. But let's talk about a hashkacha practice. Why did it come out that Naftali was the one that got this kavod? Think about it. Naftali, it's a very big kavod. You don't have to come. There's no purpose in coming. The reason why I want you to come was because you want to get the kavod. Everyone else was counted. You also get counted. We could have worked out the order that Reuven was the one who came, or Shimon, or Yisachar, was Zevulun. Why was it Naftali was the one that came just to say hello to Moshe Rabbeinu and did not need to be counted? So I think the answer is to this question, why is Naftali called Naftali? Naftali was a product of Tefillah. Naftulei Elokim Niftalti Im Elokim Gam Yochol Im Achoisi Gam Yocholti. And Rashi there back in Chumash Parashas Vayetze,
wow.
In Parash Vayetze, Rashi has a discussion. There's a very bizarre term. Naftule Elokim Naftalti. And one of Rashi's interpretations means I wrestled with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in tefillah. I wanted very much to have another child, and it wasn't so simple. And I had to exert myself. I had to pray with intensity to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he should be mezakeh me with a child. Naftali, from all of the Shvatim, Naftali Chazal say, it was the Shliach Tzibur. When the Shvatim got together at Davin Mincha, who was the Shliach Tzibur? Naftali. Naftali was the Shem from the Klal Yisrael, all the Shluchi Tzibur, they are all
Ayala. He was the first one to be.
He was quick. Why was he the Shliach Tzibur? He was swift. And Ayala is swift. The Ayala, Chazal say, is the Shliach Tzibur among all the animals. When there's a drought, Chazal, the Medrash, when there's a drought, all the animals, they come knocking on the door of the Ayol. Not the Ayil, but the Ayol. There's an Ayil and Ayol. An Ayil is a behema. Ayol is a chaya. Ayol is a chaya. It's like a deer. Something similar to a deer, Ayol. It is the Shliach Tzibur. They all come to the Ayol and say, Ayol, There's nothing to eat. There is no rain. There's nothing to drink. Please be mispalel. The Medrash says the ayol, it puts its head into the ground and it gives a roar. It's mispalel to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and then it begins to rain. The ayol is the shliach tzibur of the chayos. Naftali is the shliach tzibur for Klal Yisrael. Naftulei Elokim Naftali im achosi gam yacholti. And Rashi, look up the Rashi over there. It's how he describes the word Naftali means to wrestle. You wrestle with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in tefillah. You persuade HaKadosh Baruch Hu to grant you your request. Now, therefore, what does it have to do with this over here? What is the purpose of davening? We simply understand is you need something. If you need something, you need something. I have a purpose. I need parnasa. I need a zivuk. I need refuah. You need things. Let's say you have a good day. You're married. 12 children, you marry them all off, you have parnasa, everything is good, you're in koilo. No, I don't have to go to, I can go to a fast minion. I wake up a little late, leave a little bit early, I can cut corners, I don't have to be mispalel with my eyes closed. I don't need anything, Hashem. You already gave me what I need. One can very easily make that mistake, but we all know that is the furthest thing from the truth. The purpose of tefillah is, it's only secondary to get what you need. The main function of tefillah is to have a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even if He gives you absolutely nothing. There is an advantage to davening just, Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm here. I know I'm connecting to you. I don't want anything. I don't want anything, nothing. I just need to make that connection. This is the primary function of tefillah. Dvarim pshutim, open up any sefer on tefillah, this is the first thing they're going to teach you. Tefillah, don't think tefillah is all about give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. If your attitude is give me, give me, give me, then you don't know the first thing about tefillah. It's the connector called the Shbaruch Hu. Mainly you'll get what you need to get.
But the whole Shema Esrei is filled with bakashos.
But that's not the primary kavan. The primary kavan is I recognize you are the source of parnas. You are the source of refuah. You are the source of redemption. You are the source of hashiva shavtenik, whatever the brachas are. You know, I would also appreciate if you would help me out a little bit. But the attitude has to be to recognize baruch means you are the source. You are the makor habracha. Now we can understand why Midah Keneged Midah, Naftali was the one that was selected to come last. You think last is so bad. In this instance, last is pretty good. Because everyone came to Moshe Rabbeinu because they needed to be counted. I don't know how many there were. I have a final tally. 603-550. We got to figure out. So I need to know. So please come forward. Naftali, I don't need to know. But I want to have an audience with you. Moshe Rabbeinu, who wouldn't want to have an audience? What would a person not give today to have an audience with Moshe Rabbeinu? People that are willing to give, spend $100 million to go out, a citizen to go outer space, right? To go on some make-believe spacecraft. They're not even sure we'll make it into orbit. We'll give $100 million.
They sent a Torah.
They already took a Torah there. The Challenger, you know, we haven't know what happened to that Torah. But who would you give everything you have to have an audience? Who wouldn't give today everything they own to have an audience with Moshe Rabbeinu for 10 seconds? Can you imagine someone who could give you a real opportunity, take you back in a time machine, give you an audience with Moshe Rabbeinu for 10 seconds? Who wouldn't give up everything they have to have such an opportunity? Naftali, you don't need it. Naftali, I don't need you. The only reason why you're coming to Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe, the representative of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Av HaNevi'im, is to have an audience with Moshe Rabbeinu. Midah Keneged Midah. Because Naftali is the one who appreciates what it means to have an audience with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Naftali is the one who is the Shliach Tzibur. He is the Koyach of Tefillah. The Koyach of Tefillah is not gimme, 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 gimme. The true Koyach of Tefillah is an audience. Midah Keneged Midah. Naftali has the audience with Moshe Rabbeinu.
Yeah, because it's also a bracha. It's the Yom HaNisleis. And by Yechi, excuse me. Yeah, by
a Yom is
last, and
it's also Bracha Asher is last. Okay. Yeah. Okay, as I say, there are seven times. Every time it's different. But in this particular instance, this is a drush of why Naftali happens to work out last. Okay, let's go to another idea. Now, I saw this idea from my friend. I don't know if it's his idea or he's quoting from someone. This is a very, he has a beautiful idea. We learned here, we have the Yisachar and Zevulun. The two are linked. The two are linked together. Livnei Yisachar. I mean, we have multiple times. Livnei Yisachar. They're linked. Now, there is in this week's parasha. Their names are mentioned twice, and there's missing a vav when the first mention in the beginning of the parasha. Li Yisachar Nisanel Ben Suar Lizvulun. No, I don't remember. Okay, there's a Balaturim in this week's parasha. I didn't get a chance to actually look up the Balaturim because I saw it secondhand and I was in a rush. But there's a Balaturim somewhere in this parasha which takes note that there's an unusual connection between, you'll look it up, I think there's three times in the parasha they're mentioned, and one of the times they're mentioned in an unusual way. Maybe, I think it's in the Degolim. If you can find it quickly in the Degolim. Now, Yisachar Zevulun. I think there's a missing vav. Let's see. Degel Machane Don.
It's on page 138. Pasuk Zayin.
Pasuk Zayin. You're really good. Matei Zevulun v'nasil v'nei Zevulun aliyah ben Chelon. Okay. Utzvav. Oh, so it's Pasuk Zayin in the Balaturim?
Yeah.
Pasuk Zayin? Okay, Matei Zevulun. Okay, so another thing to watch the Balkari for. All the small little... The devil is in the details. All of them, when it comes to the Degolim, later in the parasha, all the Degolim are okay with Vavs. Right? But when it comes to Zevulun, is the only Shevet that's missing the Vav. Umatei... Where's the Vav? Printer's error, what happened to the Vav? When it comes to all the other Shvatim, it says, Umate. So what happens? So along comes the Baal HaTurim and says, you know why there's no Vav? Because Zevulun is connected to the one right before of Yisachar. And Yisachar and Zevulun had a partnership. Zevulun went to work, and he supported Adapta Koilo. First Adapta Koilo, he supported Yisachar. Neila, there's no Vav, they're one and the same. So my friend, I think this is his, maybe it's his, someone else, he asked the question, why from all the Shvatim was it only Zevulun that formed the Zevulun-Yisachar partnership? By the way, that's a very complex partnership. We once had a shiur on that a while ago in Parashas Vayechi. It's a very complicated idea, what exactly it means. But whatever it means, why is only Yisachar, only Zevulun entered into such a partnership, and we don't find this by any other Shevet? So he says, very, very, very frightening idea. All the Shvatim, everyone made Parnas, except for Zevulun, and except for Yisachar, and except for Levi. Except for Yisachar and Levi, everyone made Parnasa.
Yisachar's
the Everyone made Parnasa. Everyone had jobs. And for all the Shvatim, we don't find them adopting a Kollel. Why? It wasn't there. They didn't work so hard. I shouldn't say the Chas Shalom. They didn't risk their lives to make Parnas. They worked hard, long hours. Zevulun was sailors. This week is Fleet Week, right? Now you know why. I noticed all the pictures in the Frum websites. They show the sailors, in their nice suits, just the men. And the Goyisha websites, Dail Chav and Hakim and Remiza, what they show. Forget about the cabinet, forget about the government. Everyone's talking about the government. The government, the Israeli government this week? The Haredim, they took out all the women, they blurred their faces. Look at the Fleet Week pictures. They're different. Okay, whatever.
It's not fair.
This is not going to go off in Satna, I know. It's not going to go off in Satna, this way. But Yisachar, Yisavulon, they risk their lives every single day to make Parnasa. They travel the seas. It's extremely dangerous. Chazal say the sailors are chassidim. They see their lives pass before them. Any moment they can die. They go through difficult times. They see the Yad Hashem. They have a sensitivity to recognize their parnasa comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, my friend says it was specifically Zevulun who realized, it's not my money. It's Hashem's money. when you're in a parnasa where you risk your life and you see the Yad Hashem every single moment to make parnasa, and Hashem lets you survive to make parnasa, it's not my money. It's not my parnasa. I have to give it. I have to give it to support Hashem's institutions. Other people, no, they have emunah. They're good people. No one's denying they give big time tzedakah, but not to the level where they're going to go and make a Yisachar Zevulun partnership, because it's my money. It's my money. Hashem gave it to me. Why should I go and support someone who sits on a bench? Why? It's not. I don't feel the need. But when you moisture nefesh, and you see the Yad Hashem, that already puts you in a different frame of mind. I once heard a very wealthy person give a speak by a dinner. He said, I don't know, it was a dinner. He said he once told someone that he worked very hard to make to become wealthy. He had a mahalich, and it took many years. He didn't become super, super rich for until much later in life. And when he got to the first million, when he put his first million away in the bank, and set up a fund, he really felt it was his money. He worked, he slaved away, nights working, and then the whole thing took off like crazy, and then the millions just kept on coming in. And he always felt that the first million I felt was mine, but the other millions, I never felt that it's my money. I just saw Hashem gave it to me. Hashem gave it to me. He didn't give it to me. He didn't give it to me. He didn't give it to me. I didn't earn it. It's for someone else. It wasn't meant to be for me. He tried to explain. It's obviously very different than the Zevulun, that he saw the different darugas of his wealth. Some money he earned, and some money he didn't earn. It was given to him clearly for a purpose of supporting a certain institution. Same thing with Zevulun. Zevulun, they're in a profession. You have to properly express it in the right words. They're in a profession that's different than the profession of everyone else in Klal Yisrael, where they're able to see that the money that they're coming is not their money. It's Hashem's money, and they have much less of less difficulty in parting and giving away the money to support Talmidei Chachamim. Okay, let's go to another short idea. Okay, we're really out of time. Okay, no, we're out of time. So let me just conclude with one idea on Shavuos. There are other things I wanted, but we don't have time. Okay, just a short little vart. We say in the Nusach HaTzfilah, Va'ati Tim Lano Hashem Lokeinu Es Yoyim Schag Abikur Mazeh Zman Matan Toroseinu. Okay, in the Nusach HaTzfilah we use this expression that Shavuos Yom Abikurim Shavuos Chag HaShavuos Hazeh. We elaborate and we refer to it as Zman Matan Toroseinu. Commentators ask, why is it called Zman? Bishloima Pesach, we refer to it as Zman Cheruseinu, because Pesach lasts for 7-8 days. Bishloima, when it comes to Sukkot, we can say Zman Simchaseinu, Zman, it's a time. Zman has a connotation, an extended period of time.
A fixed time limits?
It's extended. Whatever, it's fixed. It's 8 days. It's fixed, but it's more than one day. It's not just a single day. It's an extended period of time. A week is called a zman because it's an extended period of time. Sukkot is called zman simchaseinu. It's 7 days. Zman simchaseinu. And the proof that you only use the word zman in reference to a Yom Tov that has an extended period of time is Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, as Yom, Hashem has given us as Yom, Hazikaron Hazeh, Yom Teruah, a day of blowing. Hashem has given us as Yom HaKippurim Hazeh, Yom. What does it say?
Yom HaBikurim. Even that, it says by Shavuot, Yom HaBikurim. It says Yom HaBikurim.
And what we go on to say, I'm talking about one...
And it says Chag HaShavuot, it says Zman.
Okay, but I'm talking about the Zman. I'm talking Zman. When it comes to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we say, Hashem has given Yom Teruah. When it comes to Yom Kippur, we say, as Yom HaKippur Mazeh, Yom Slicha U'mechila. Yom. Why don't we go say Zeman? We have 40 days, Aser Simei Tshuva. No, because it's a one-day thing. If that pattern is correct, Pesach and Sukkot, it's 7 days. So we say Zman. And Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, it's one day. We say Yom. So the logical conclusion is that on Shavuos, Yom, Chag HaShavuos HaZeh, Yom Matan Torah
Seinu.
It's not
finished the Pesach. Why can't you tie it into that?
Right. What? It's not. It's a one day.
No, but it's called a Atzeres HaPesach, right?
That's a Jewish, but it's a one day holiday. I hear what you're saying, but let's put that aside. It's a one day. But technically speaking, it's still a one day holiday. Yeah. It's a one day holiday as Chag HaShavuos Yom Matan Torah Seinu. This question is asked by everyone. Everyone asks this question. It's a tough question. So one answer given is, as you just said, is that the truth is it's really a 3 day Yom Tov, and that really it's important for tomorrow. Why is it a 3 day Yom Tov? What happened on day six? On day six, Klal Yisrael said Nase V'Nishma. What happened on day five of Sivan? It's tomorrow. Klal Yisrael said Nase V'Nishma. What happened on day six? Hashem was willing. B'machshava, Hashem said, "Okay, I'm ready. I'm going to give you the Torah. I'm going to give it to you." Moshe Rabbeinu said, "We're not ready." Moshe was Moisef Yom Echad Midaita. He added one more day. And when did that Torah actually? When was it actually given to us? It was given to us on day seven. So the truth. That's why one of the reasons why we have a stake of the Yoma. It's not such a stake of the Yoma. We have, even though we know we count 50 days from Pesach, it's a different type of holiday because the Torah was really given to us on day seven. The truth is, Shavuos is a 3 day holiday. It starts tonight with Nase V'Nishma on day five. Day six is the Machshava, the Kabbalah, Hashem's willingness. Day seven, the second of Yom Tov, that's really the commemoration we really receive the Torah. It's 3 days, it's not one day, therefore it fits very well that we should say Zman and not Yom Matar Seinu. But there's another idea to include this idea is that in a Hanami, let's make believe it's really only one idea. The Chiddush is, Shavuos is not like all the other Chagim. Rosh Hashanah is Yom Hadin. It's one day. The day comes, the day goes. Yom Kippur, the day come, the day goes. Pesach, Geula. Geula doesn't last forever. Look, we're living in Golis for 2,000 years. Geula comes, Geula goes. Anani HaKavod, we don't have the Anani HaKavod today. Hashem protects us. There are symbolic Anani HaKavod. Sukkos Mamish, we don't live outdoors the whole year. But Torah, it's just the beginning. It's like a photographer. The end of the chasna, this is not the end. This is not the end. It's just the beginning. The last thing it says in every video, right? It's just the beginning. It's enochinami. It's Zman Matan Torah Seinu. The Kabbalah Satorah is not the day we makabal the Torah, and that's it. The season is over. The koil is shut. It's just the beginning. It's Zman. The unique nature of Shavuos is a Hemshach, to go forward throughout the entire year with the Kabbalah Satorah. Have a wonderful Shabbos, a wonderful Yom Tov. All the best to you. You should makabal the Torah with two hands. Arech Yemin B'Yimina and the Smoila Oshavachot. Makabal the Torah with two hands.
6 and 7 days.